Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network. Thank you, Russ Terry, for that audible intro. You know, we are incredibly blessed and fortunate here at Life Coach Radio Network to have the support and inclusion of Audible.com. There are many fabulous books on there, and we do encourage you. If that is a love of yours, then please check out that website for more information. I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach, and I am one of over 40 coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network who come before you each and every day on three different radio channels. We have Life Coach Radio Network, which you are listening to right now. We also have International Life Coach Radio Network, as well as the Life Coach Chat channel. And you can find out more about all of those fabulous programming that we have on lifecoachradionetworks.com. There is a listing of all of us coaches, the shows, and even a blog about some of us on there. So I encourage you to reach out there as well. So I am super honored to come to you today on this lovely April afternoon. I am coming to you live from Los Alamos, New Mexico, where the skies are blue and the sun is out, and we are enjoying a beautiful spring day here. I am not too afraid to say that now that we are mid-April, because so many of you across the globe have experienced a very tumultuous winter, and so I know you are joining me and cheering for spring, so I'm real happy that you're here. For those of you who have been following me for a long time, you know that my passion rests with those who are navigating the complexities of adoption. That's what I do as a life and leadership and restoration coach. It is my desire to help raise awareness, to build an educational platform, and really gather together a team of individuals and groups passionate about raising awareness about the complexities of adoption, the beauty, the mystery, the challenges that so many of us can face. I am an adult adoptee. I have been in reunion with my biological family now for next month. It will be exactly half my life. And so I'm getting ready to hit the century mark or half a century mark. And I'm super excited about that. And I'm very privileged for the family that I have been blessed with, both adoptive and biological. So without any further ado, I really want to welcome you for taking time out and of your busy schedule and listening in today. We have a very interesting and fabulous show planned for you today. I'm really, really honored to introduce our listening audience to Jennifer Catchler. Jennifer and I first met each other, gosh, I think it was mid-February, as I was perusing the internet. Those of you who know me well know that I like to see folks who are out there impacting the adoption community, as well as walking their talk, living their passion, doing something that really provides a tremendous amount of juice for them and are giving back to the community in big ways. And I found that in Jennifer Catchler. And so I reached out to her, and I've enjoyed following her, getting to know her, and hear more about her project. And so for those of you who saw her lovely picture, she is a filmmaker. She received her BFA from the School of Visual Arts in New York City. She's been producing short films, web series, international tourism, web commercials, industrial media, and other video projects in New York City for almost a decade now. And then in August of 2014, she was accepted to the David Lynch MA in Film at MUM in Fairfield, Iowa. And for those of you who are family members or friends listening, you know I have a connection with Fairfield, Iowa. So that was another part of my life that Jennifer and I connected in. My husband's family is in Fairfield, and his parents grew up there, and I have very fond memories of the farm just off of Highway 34 in Fairfield. So a shout out to Fairfield friends and family as well. So, you know, Jennifer quit her full-time job producing web content, leaving behind her cozy apartment in Brooklyn, and moved to the Midwest to be with her favorite film director, David Lynch. He was able to personally watch and judge her short film, Horizon, in a competition. And so we are with a very esteemed, famous gal here on Walk Through Talk with Leanne. So welcome, Jennifer. I just warmly thank you for being here on our show with us today.
Thank you so much, Leanne. It's such a pleasure to be speaking with you today from the sunny state of Iowa.
Yeah, so what is happening? What's the weather like down there in Fairfield? Are you getting the humidity now?
It's getting very warm, but it's beautiful, clear skies, and it just feels so good to be outside on a day like today.
Fantastic. Well, Jennifer, you know, I was just reading through as I was introducing you to our listening audience about your passion in film and your desire to use your creative gift to really explore a lot of provocative topics, it sounds like. And so you have a film project that drew us together. That is the common thread while you and I are here today. Please tell our listening audience about the current film projects you are working on.
Absolutely. My master thesis film is titled Kennedy Hill. It is set in the late 1930s about a 17-year-old girl named Grace who finds out she is adopted. And in search of her birth family, she journeys away from home. And what she winds up discovering is who her true family really is. And this film is not only going to be my master thesis film that I get my master's in art from the David Lynch MA in Film Program, but it's much more than that. It's a story that is about my family. In 1925, my Nana, who is my mom's mom, was adopted. And she never knew her birth parents. She never knew if she had any siblings. But she chose it to be that way. She never wanted to seek them. She never wanted to find them. Her family was her family, whether she was adopted or not. And it's something that I've always known growing up. It's always been very open and honest from my grandmother to my mother to me and my sisters about the adoption in our family. And I've always contemplated, well, what would I have done if I knew I was adopted? Would I have gone out and tried to find my birth parents? Would I just have lived without wanting to know? Would I have wanted to know if I had any siblings? And that's really what this film is about. It is about what I would do as an individual, as a woman, as a filmmaker nowadays, if I found out I was adopted, taking on this story, this true story of my family history, but importing my creative vision into it. So it is a fictitious story. There are some names and towns and dates that are true to my family, but overall this creation of my view of what would have happened if my Nana were to seek her birth family back in the 1930s.
Wow, that's really beautiful. And that, you know, I can hear the passion in your voice for this project. And so what fuels you every morning now? Because I'm sure filming is a little bit grueling at times, right? I want to talk about your fundraising and all of that that brought us together, how I found you. But what fuels you every morning as you get up to go film? How do you keep going?
Oh, well, first of all, it's the adrenaline. I get so pumped when making a film because this is what I am meant to do. There's nothing else on this planet that I'm meant to do as an individual. I'm a filmmaker. I'm meant to share stories that stories that inspire, that promote positivity, that empower people to think outside themselves. It's just to evoke change in one person to think or feel or express a different way. So that's first and foremost. But for this film in particular, it is to raise awareness about adoption. It is to let people know about how far we have come in the adoption process from the turn of the century of when my Nana was adopted. Back then, it was a secret. She was purposely not told about her adoption because that's what her parents were told not to do. They were told never to tell the children because they wanted them to grow up normal. Whatever normal is, they wanted them to be that way, and that was one thing that they said to do, never to tell that your child is adopted. And nowadays, it's much more open. People are able to talk about it, and there's a lot of wonderful things happening for children and for families and for parents in adoption. We still have a long way to go in terms of creating a very honest, loving, non-business way of adoption. I know there's a lot of ups and downs right now with it being a business, but I want to show how much we've come from that time when my Nana was adopted, the language that they used, how things were kept a secret, how it was a stigma, how people were just terrible things that had happened. And I want to change that. I want to be able to have people think about adoption when they want to start a family. Think about all the children in our country, around the world, that don't have a loving family to go home to, that don't have supportive parents, that are waiting to be brought home. Let's think about these children first before we think about bringing children of our own into this planet. I have been thinking about that every single day as I'm making this film, about how I want to start a family when I'm ready to settle down with a potential husband, about adopting children. My younger sisters have been thinking about adoption for years, and that just inspires me more. All the different organizations that I've been looking out as I've been doing my research of how they just dedicate their lives to adoption, to these children, to these families, to the birth families, to the adoptive families, and how much love that there is. I just want to continue that path, and I want this film to widen that path. So more people are aware of it, more people support it, and just to create a better environment for our children on this planet.
I love that. You know, and I just hear, I really appreciate and risk passion for this project. And I think that's why I so enjoyed our first conversation back in February, because of the passion that we both share to raise awareness, to pull back the veil, so to speak, on really what's been going on. Because, boy, back in the 30s, the orphan movement just ended, and the orphan train movement. And so, you know, all of that, your Nana, right, was birthed right at the end of that era. And so it has changed a lot. We do. I echo everything, Jennifer, that you just shared about we have a long way to go. We've come a long way. We've got a long way to go. But I'm a firm believer the time is now for raising awareness. And short films, such as the one that you are currently making, are a very powerful way to get a message out there. And so I just love your project of Kennedy Hill. I'm so excited to hear more about your Nana story, about your progression through making this film. And so I want to just invite our listeners, if you have a desire, listeners, to call in and ask Jennifer or myself, Leanne, a question, please feel free to call in at 646-716-9397 and push 1, and I can bring you into the queue if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments for us while we're live here on the air. So, Jennifer, what you just shared was so full of passion. I understand what drives you. It drives a lot of us who have that passion and desire to really make a difference and to highlight some of the areas in life that are not talked about maybe as often as they could or should be. And adoption is one of those. You know, I just came back from the American Adoption Congress International Convention in Boston, where I had an opportunity to speak, do a little workshop there on the adoption closet. And, you know, talking about what is unmentionable is unmanageable. And, you know, you just made reference to that so beautifully in what you shared about sharing and inspiring, empowering these voices that have been quiet. Stepping back into time must be a pretty surreal experience for you, not only as a woman and a filmmaker, but as a granddaughter.
Absolutely. It was an incredible experience to be on that set and feel I am in 1937. I am not in 2015. I actually have a cameo appearance in the film, so I got to get dressed up and did my hair and makeup. So I had a lot of fun actually really embodying the time period, and it helped me so much as a director acting with my actors, being in the wardrobe, being in the hair, being in the makeup, because it was so different. I mean, the women were just absolutely fabulous. The attention that they put to looking beautiful, especially in one particular scene in the jewelry store, all the characters in there are very well-dressed and glamorous versus the first scene we see in the film, which is at Grace's home with her parents, who are more country folk. So they don't have the glamorous hair and makeup. So just that contrast is also really fun to play with. But being able to create this world of 1937, a time that I never even was a thought in anybody's mind, was so incredible. I love watching films that physically and emotionally transport me to a different world. That has just always been something that I've loved as a child and as an adult. Films like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and Chronicles of Narnia, where it just brings you to this different world. And films like Clint Eastwood's Changeling and Ida, which just won an Oscar, these are films that are period films that were made in modern times, but it is so real. And that was what I was able to accomplish on this film. I'm in the stage right now where I'm watching the footage and I'm starting to edit it. And as I'm watching it, it is so surreal because it's so real. It is what I created is really 1937. People will watch this and they will truly be transported to a different world. I'm working with my editor who was actually on the production. He was my camera assistant and he also did a cameo appearance with me as well. And we have been through it all, but yet in this stage watching the footage, we are blown away with how incredible it is to really be transported to this different time period just by watching this footage. So I'm very proud of everybody that worked on this film to ensure that this is an authentic period piece, including my production designer, Donna Katzler, who is also my mother. She was the one that did all the research, got all the different props from the jewelry in the jewelry store to the radios to the magazines to the sewing machine to every little detail. She pulled it all together, and that is truly what helped bring these scenes in these locations to that time period. So many thanks to Donna. Hopefully she's listening so she can hear me giving her a shout out and thanking her for the incredible work that she did, not only as my production designer, but as my mother on the film.
Wow, how lovely. It sounds like you have really packed a team together. And as a leader of this team, you've been able to instill your vision to them so you can see your dream on the screen, so to speak, played out probably even more magical and wonderful than you had imagined.
Absolutely. It's when you're making a film, it's not just about you. It's about the team you put together. It's all about collaboration. And it's really important that the team you pull together not only is talented and skilled and professional, but also people that you can become a family with. Because when you're working 9 straight days, 12, 16 hours at a time, you're living together, you're eating together, you really become a family. You become a film family. And that was what was so important to me in choosing the crew, is that I needed to know that these people that I bring on can become a family with each and every single person. And that's exactly what happened. Lifelong friendships were made on my film. Everybody got along so well, worked so well together, and truly loved the content of the film. Nobody would have been there if they didn't believe in the project, if they didn't believe in me, if they didn't care about the message that I'm trying to say. Because I've brought people from all over the country to work on this film. I brought people from New Jersey, from New York City, all over Iowa. and my students that are in this program, they're from Texas and St. Louis and North Carolina. So it was a great melting pot of all these wonderful people that were all there working on this film for the main reason of making a really great film.
Wow. I love to hear the backstory. And that's what's so fun about my radio program here is we get to walk your talk with you. And you've given us, you know, I can just see all of this kind of being birthed and happening and growing into what it is going to be. And I'm super excited to see this film. And so, you know, when we first met, you were in the process of putting together a Kickstarter, or your Kickstarter was already going, and you were seeking funding for this film. And some people don't understand that process. And so I was wondering if you could give, you know, for aspiring filmmakers out there, give us a little clue. You were led to the David Lynch program in Iowa, right? By what? What generated you to want to go to the middle of, I mean, I know what Fairfield's like. It's not a huge community. So why David Lynch and why Fairfield for you?
Well, David Lynch is one of my favorite filmmakers. I saw his films when I was in college in New York City, and it just transformed everything for me. I love the way that he creates all of these emotions from these incredibly visual experiences. So I really got into it, started really reading up on David Lynch, who he is as a person and as a filmmaker, how he comes up with his ideas. And I read his book, Catching the Big Fish, which is about creativity, consciousness, and meditation. And the book truly resonated with me. Everything that he talked about was just touching my heart. And I realized, I need to look more into what he's talking about. What is this transcendental meditation? Why is this something that he does twice a day, 20 minutes every single day for the past 40 years of his life? I was also going through just a rough patch in my life and really felt like I need to do something for myself to bring myself up again. So I learned how to meditate, and it truly helped me become more me. It allowed me to really see who I am at my core and what I believe in, who I love, what I love, my passion for film. So David Lynch inspired me personally to meditate and professionally to make films. So that was back in 2011 when I started to meditate. So I've just been a big fan of his, following every move that he makes, all these different screenings that he has for documentaries that he's been a part of, everything with meditation, with Twin Peaks and all the different films. So because of following him, I get newsletters and updates on Facebook and Twitter. And this past summer in June, I found out about the David Lynch MA in Film Program. And I'm like, this sounds perfect for me, because I had been contemplating for the past 5 years whether or not I wanted to get my master's in film. But I never quite found the program that really inspired me to want to leave the professional working world to go back to school, because I was professionally working as a producer in New York City. And the job that I had, it was a wonderful job. I was doing incredible work, working with Kevin Bacon, to the rapper 2 Chainz, to all these different celebrities, going to the Netherlands, going around the country. But I wasn't creatively fulfilled because I wasn't making films. I wasn't doing what I set out to do when I was 18, moving to New York City for film. So knowing that there is a film program that was being led by my favorite film director in Iowa, I was like, this is it. This is perfect. So every day after I get home from work, I would go home and I would update my resume. I would put together a portfolio. I re-edited my short film, my undergraduate thesis film, Horizon. I cut out about 6.5 minutes to submit to the short film competition at the David Lynch MA in Film, all while still having a full-time job. I was entering into this new realm. And when I got the word that I got accepted, I knew I just had to move on. This was my chance to further my education in film. So I went to my boss and I told him that I got accepted to school, and he was fully supportive of the decision. And I quit that job. I bought a car for the first time in my life because I didn't need one in New York City. And then I took a road trip out to Iowa, and I've been here since August. And honestly, it was the best decision I've made in my life. This is exactly where I need to be, and this is exactly the film that has been inside of me that I've needed to create to really share my artistic vision, who I am as a filmmaker, and my philanthropic heart of what I want to do in this world through my film.
Oh, so beautiful. You speak so well. And again, I just hear your passion and your commitment, not only to your own personal growth, but to making films that inspire and educate and challenge each one of us. And I can just imagine that while you have been making this film and moving, you know, halfway across the country, your own journey, right? You've probably had some surprises along the way. So before our break, I would love to hear, what is a personal surprise, not associated with the film or anything, but what's a personal surprise in your own life that you have experienced as really stepping into and seeing your creativity and that desire that you have to create film fulfilled?
Wow. Well,
I'm throwing that one totally at you. Take a sip of coffee. We're just inviting our listeners. But I love, you know, what's it like to be Jennifer Catchler?
Yeah.
Well, I must say the biggest personal surprise was truly coming to Fairfield, Iowa, being that it's the Transcendental Meditation capital of the world, or of the U.S., it's really a special place to be. There is such peace here. There is such quiet here. And coming from the hustle and bustle of New York City, I really was surprised by how I could just sit and breathe and listen to my own thoughts and to truly be present with myself, with what I wanted to accomplish this year, what I want to take away from this program. And I never thought that I would have this opportunity to truly just explore myself and what it is that I want to say. And being in this program, being in Iowa, has allowed me to do that in amazing ways. And being surrounded by my fellow classmates who come from all around the world, and sharing this experience with them, growing as individuals in a group through our meditation, through our filmmaking, through our friendships, has just been an incredible experience that I will never forget. The people that I've met here, the friends that I've made, the teachers I've worked with, the professionals that I've collaborated with, that will stay with me forever. These people have inspired me and supported me to truly be myself. And I know I've been saying that over and over again, but there is so much power in understanding who you are, what you're meant to do, and loving yourself and allowing yourself to be everything you wanted to be from when you were a child playing around and saying, I want to grow up and be a filmmaker. Well, you can do that. I'm doing it, and I know I'm meant to do this, and I know that this is just the beginning of a very long career that is going to change a lot for a lot of people. I just know that the films that I'm going to make are going to make a difference in at least one person's life. I hope the world will be changed by what I'm trying to do, but you got to start with one person, and right now I've definitely changed my life by being here and being in this program and making this film.
Well, it sounds like you're really supported for the growth that you want to experience, and you're creating the life that you want in Fairfield, in film. And how beautiful. You know, I have a quote that I often share. In fact, it's on my Facebook personal page. I share it a lot when I'm working with folks and speaking. But it's, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. And that's Mark Twain. And I am hearing from you that you're embracing both of those, as I am. And no wonder we click and are passionate about the adoption journey, because so much of the adoption journey, I like to call it the tapestry of adoption, is totally woven into the day we were born and the day that we start to make sense of our story. And like you shared, Jennifer, really claiming who you are. You know, so much of the work, people ask, well, what does a coach do? you know, I'll hear that a lot, right? And it's like, that's part of it, is we help you identify your who. Who are you? Why are you here? And what is so special about you that sets you apart? Because there is. We have been created so beautifully and with such incredible design and dignity. And on that note, when we come back here in just a moment, Jennifer, I would love to hear now about some of the surprises, challenges, and victories that you've experienced while you have been making your film, Kennedy Hill. So take a sip of whatever it is you're drinking there in Fairfield and get a little breath here. And I'm going to share with our listeners at the bottom of the hour here some upcoming shows that we have here on Life Coach Radio Network. You know, you've just been privileged to a half an hour of spending time listening to Jennifer and having her share her vision and walking her talk with us here. That is why I am on radio. That is why I have my show and that I am part of Life Coach Radio Network, is because it does provide a platform for us to talk to and meet ordinary people doing extraordinary things and making this world a more strong, connected, and better place, one conversation at a time. And so you can hear more on Life Coach Radio Network here. I'll share some upcoming shows with you. We have Create Your Bliss with Nika Annan, and that show will be tomorrow right here on the network. Also, Nisha Avery, she is going to talk to you about inner motivation on the 18th of April. And then on the 19th of April, please join Life Coach Mark Shaw. He is a coach and a life coach and a business coach, and he also has a regular show here on the network. And so I do invite you to look into our website, find out more about our coaches. You know, coaching is taking the world by storm. And we love as coaches to inspire, encourage, and challenge you to live the life that you were created to live and get out of your own way. And sometimes we love the assistance of a coach in which to do that. And so I have been so privileged to be joined today by Jennifer Katchler. She is a filmmaker, and she is currently working on a project that I'm super excited to see. It is a project that is near and dear to my heart because it centers around an adoption journey. And so welcome back, Jennifer, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to still be here with you.
Me too. I'm so glad that you are here with me as well. And, you know, Jennifer, right before we did our commercial break there, we had talked about some of the personal beauty that has happened to you while you've been making this film and moving, you know, halfway across the country to see your creativity and your dream realized. I would love it if you could share with us now, what have been some of the challenges of making a film like this, Kennedy Hill, in the Midwest?
The biggest challenge of making a film as a student are the finances, because the school provides equipment that you can film, but they don't provide the additional funds that you need. And you need money to make a movie, because regardless if you're paying your crew or cast, you need to provide them meals. You need to provide them transportation. And then if you're staying at a place that's far from, you know, home base, you have to provide them lodging. So those are the three biggest things that I had to raise money for, to provide everything for my crew. So finding the money to be able to pull this all together was definitely a challenge. I put together a Kickstarter campaign with a certain goal that I wanted to reach. And I was very, very blessed that I was able to reach that goal. So that provided me the funds that I needed to make this film. On top of just those basic needs, when you're doing a period piece film set in 1937 and you're filming it in 2015, you need to make this space truly feel like it's back in time. But you can't just get any props that are from the 30s, because they need to be real and brand new. They can't be vintage and old looking. So a lot of my money went to finding the very specific props that were needed in this film, on top of wardrobe, on top of the hair and the makeup, finding the right things that are authentic to the time period. And it's the scavenger hunt. I mean, you're going to rental houses to see if they have anything. You're going to antique stores and consignment shops. You're going online. You're searching everywhere and anywhere you can to find these items. And it was a big challenge, but I had some wonderful people on my team that were really dedicated and really did the research and pulled it all together, and it looks beautiful. But that was the biggest challenge, the money. It's never a fun thing to ask people to support you financially, but it is necessary for something like this. But the fun thing with Kickstarter is if you ask people to donate, well, they get rewards. You get to have a special piece of the film when you donate to the film. So I had actually put up some of the props from the film, some of the jewelry that was in Kennedy Jewelers, that people will donate a certain amount to, and then they'll actually get a piece of the film itself on top of a lot of different rewards that I have. So it was a very exciting, fun process, but not one that I want to do again, that's for sure.
So this thesis project that you're working on, I'm just super curious. I'm going to divert just a little bit because it does kind of, it's woven in with the challenges. Did you understand the magnitude of what you were going to create when you started your project?
I did, because I have experience producing films and working in production. I understood that taking on a project with the 1937 being the theme, being the era, that it was definitely going to take a lot of work and resources and research, but it was a challenge that I happily took because I knew I wanted to make something epic. I want this masterpiece of film to be my masterpiece. And I knew that I was going to be working an insane amount of hours to prepare for it, which I did. I pretty much spent all of my time at my office and only went home to shower, sleep, and eat a few times. But it was tough, but it was something that I knew I wanted to do. And not everybody could do that. I don't know if I could have made this film if I didn't have the experience that I had so long. The school, they allow you to make anything you want, freedom of your creative vision. But they also encourage you to only take what you can handle. And they question me. They're like, is this something that you really think you can do? Can you raise the funds for this? Can you pull this off? And I said, absolutely. Look at my resume. Look at what I've done. Look at how I've worked in this classroom with all these students. I can do this. And they said, well, we support you. Now go do it. And that's what I've been doing. And I had teachers and faculty and staff on my set, and they were truly impressed by how well everything came together.
What a confirmation of your vision to see all of that realized. Right? Everything from the Kickstarter being so incredibly successful to being able to gather your team together, like you said, from all over the U.S. to come in and make this film with you and then to have it run so smoothly. So I'm sure our listeners are wondering, when did you start filming Kennedy Hill?
We started on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. So it was a very special day to begin filming on the holiday, and I thanked everybody at the end by getting them all green cupcakes and to celebrate a little bit about St. Patrick's Day. And we completed filming on March 26th. So over a span of 10 days, we did 9 days on set with a day break in between just to give people some sleep because I work people to the bone, as you may say. I worked people long hours because there was a lot to accomplish, and nobody complained. Everybody just worked very hard, took it seriously, but we all had fun. That was the most important thing, is we all had fun while doing it.
Beautiful. Wow. 10 days making a film. I just cannot wait. So when can we look forward to seeing your project?
Well, I'm still in the editing stages, and I hope to be finishing this summer, but as with any film, you need to go through a lot of work. There's a lot of sound editing, color correction, and lots of things that you have to do. So I'm hoping we'll be finished by the end of the summer so I can start submitting this to film festivals in the fall. Now, I want to submit it to the big film festivals, Sundance, Tribeca, Austin, Los Angeles. And after the film has gone through the film festival circuit, I hope to then release the film online or by DVD. Anybody that supported the Kickstarter, they will get a special link to download the film to watch it before anybody else can see it. But besides then, it will not be available to the public for a few months, maybe a year. But with that said, I will be releasing a trailer and a ton of exclusive content from on the scenes. They're called behind the scenes, videography and photos that I'll be releasing to get people excited. And then down the road, we're actually creating a behind the scenes documentary that will include scenes of the film, as well as showing you what it was like being on set to capture those scenes. So that will be released to the public around the fall time period as well. And that I'm really excited to let the world see what it's truly like making a film, to see all of the people involved to get that scene up on that screen.
Wow, how exciting. Well, I will definitely be keeping an eye out. I'm glad that we are now friends and I can hear more about that. I'm sure I'll need time to answer that question because I'm sure many listening are as curious as I am about your project. So fantastic. All right, so now my other big question is, let's chat a little bit here about what were some of the surprises, blessings, or shockers that you have experienced while making this film?
The biggest surprise that I found while making this film was the way that I wrote Owen's character. Owen is Grace's biological father that she winds up meeting. The actor, Michael Abbott Jr., who portrayed the role of Owen, is a very talented actor that I've known for many years, and there was such a trust between he and I that I allowed him to just do what he felt was right for the character. So I wrote it a certain way. We talked about it, but when we got on set and he was in his costume, when he had his hair slicked back, when he was sitting in that Ford Model A car, he projected his character a very different way than I ever envisioned him to be. He was much more emotional, much more connected, and much more open to what was happening in the scene than I ever imagined his character to be. It's always difficult writing for the opposite sex because you may think you know how they feel, but maybe not so much. And that was something that I was working on with, like, how do I write this character of this father who had to put his daughter up for adoption when he was 18 years old? How do I write for that? But I stuck to my guns and I really felt, you know, a particular way. But Michael, he just created Owen to be just this much more emotionally raw character. And watching the footage, it is just blowing me away because it's so true. I'm so glad that he did that because now I'm able to capture this other side of Owen that is just much more true to what a father would experience than what I wrote. So that was a beautiful surprise, or as David Lynch calls, a happy accident. And that happened quite a few times on set, but that was the most beautiful one that I must share. And then all the other ones were just some fun moments that happened on set with the other actors and the other cast and crew. And I must say, there was always ups and downs to making a film. There's always the victories, but then there are always the moments where you're like, I wish that never happened. Because you're just dealing with a lot of different personalities, you're dealing with a lot of hard work, a lot of stress, and things could always be better. But I take those lessons learned and I hold them close to my heart to know how to handle things better moving forward. And I must say, our first day on set was the hardest day that we could have ever done. We were working outside. It was a beautiful day, but it was freezing. It was so cold out, and we were filming with our car that didn't actually have windows. It didn't have heat, and I'm making my actors be sitting inside this car, and my crew on top of the processes trailer that's pulling this car along, and the wind was just brutal, and it was super cold, and it was just a very crazy day. I've learned my lesson to never have your hardest day first because it was definitely a challenge. But at the end of the day, it really pulled us all together. We really, after that point, all of us just loved one another and realized, hey, we're having a great time. That was crazy, but let's move on and make this the best thing ever.
Oh, my goodness. Well, sometimes some of those greatest moments, right, are birthed out of a little bit of adversity. Oh, my goodness. And so, you know, kind of going back to, what did you call it, a happy accident with the character Owen? I'm real curious because birth, you know, you brought up a very interesting, kind of a provocative topic. Birth dads are not often acknowledged in a very big way within an adoption story. A lot of it is centered right around the birth mom and the kiddo. And so tell me a little bit more about the character Owen in your film.
Owen Kennedy is a third generation Kennedy Jewelers for as long as they can remember. So he comes from a very well-off family. And at the time, they had people that lived in the home with them that worked for the family. So Minetta, who is Grace's biological mom, and she was an immigrant from Canada. She was working in the household as a laundress. She was about maybe 15, 16 years old when she came down and started working for the family. And, you know, he was a year older than her, and they just fell in love. But it was a secret kind of love because she worked for the family, and she wasn't, you know, as socially acceptable as he was, but he didn't care because they loved each other. So that's how his character starts out, that he loved somebody as a teenager, and they had plans to get married, but then all these things just fell apart, and then she wound up dying in childbirth, and he was then left to make a decision, you know, that he wanted to fight to keep this child or just to let this child have a better life without him. And he then, you know, accepted the fact that giving this child a better life because he could not raise this child on his own, being that it was the 1920, being that he was from a higher class and the child was not legitimately, you know, created because they weren't married, was really a struggle for him as a man and then as a father. And after Grace was out of his life, and he had to just continue living life the way that he knew, running this jewelry store, creating all this jewelry, just kind of being this glamorous man, but always wearing a mask because he was never his true self. He didn't get married until 12, 13 years after, because he just couldn't love again. He was so distraught, but he couldn't make any other decision in his life at that time. And it was really interesting writing this character and getting the mindset, you know, you have to make a decision and you have to live with it for the rest of your life, regardless of whether or not you may get a chance to heal that wound. And that was what I was dealing with Owen at this stage in the film, is now he has the opportunity to truly heal that wound by his to his life 17 years later, after having to bury the love of his life and not being able to move on from that. It was a challenge, but it was beautiful, and I really wanted to write a male lead. I really want to focus on the father instead of the mother, like you said, because there are always stories about the mother. What about the father? Even now with adoption and the children, mother, so they say, like, it's always the mother gets, you know, whatever she gets, she's a mother. Well, what about the father? What about the man? What about the leader of the family, that giving him a voice, allowing him to really express what it was like for him to give away a part of his heart, and now that he has a chance to really experience that and to create a new relationship, was a really beautiful experience, especially working with Michael and so.
Hey, Jennifer. Jennifer, for some reason you're breaking up a little bit. I did not hear your last sentence there. Would you mind repeating that? I'm not sure if our listeners did, but I want to make sure that I give full attention.
Absolutely. So what I said to end was that working with Michael, who played Owen, and then Andy, who played Grace as a father-daughter, was really a beautiful experience to really work on that father-daughter relationship, because both actors have children of their own. They both have the mother and the father figures in their lives and their own relationship. So it was a lot of fun to play with that. And I really loved working with them and working on creating these characters as real as they are.
Boy, it sounds like you really captured, and your goal was to really capture and honor everybody involved. And, you know, that's the sign of a brilliant filmmaker and writer. And so if I understand it correctly, you wrote, so tell me all the roles that you have. You said you had a cameo appearance. I know you're filming. Yeah, so how many times are you going to see your name on the billing here?
Well, I don't want to be all over the credits, but I am the director, producer, writer of the film, and I do have a cameo appearance, and I will be assisting with editing, but I do have my editor, who is in my office right now working on the footage, Brenton. Hi, Brenton. Thank you for all your hard work. And, that's mainly everything I did, which is a lot. It's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot. And so I'm just really curious now to ask you kind of a personal question, and that is, what is your Nana, your parents, what do they think about the film and your heart vision for this project?
My Nana and my parents are incredibly supportive of this film and of me as a filmmaker. I couldn't have asked for better parents or grandparents. They truly support, believe in me, and love me dearly. My Nana, she doesn't think her life is extraordinary. She's like, why are you making a movie about me? But she's supportive of it. She is a little apprehensive about it because I do touch upon a lot of things that are real to her life. But she loves it nonetheless. She's 90 years old, and she's one of the most important people in my life, and she's a huge supporter of what I do, and I just can't wait to show her this film because she hasn't seen anything. You know, she's back in New Jersey. She doesn't know what I've been doing. She doesn't have a computer or a smartphone, so it's not like I can send her any photos or anything. So I'm really excited to get back to the East Coast to show her what I've been working to really get the response that I want from her, just to see how she feels about what I put together based on her life story.
Wow. How great is that? So she is 90. Well, someday maybe she can listen to this program. Hello, Nana. Thank you for sharing your story and allowing your legacy to move forward in your granddaughter, because that's really huge. You know, Jennifer, so much of the work that I do is all about living our legacy. We don't need to wait to leave it. People are under that misnomer that a legacy is something, a check that you write, or, you know, something that you leave behind. But what I love about chatting with you today and hearing about this project is that you're living your legacy. And this is kind of a legacy piece for you because it really honors part of your story, your heritage. And that's what a lot of people don't remember, is that adoption is a lifelong, lifetime experience. And the ripple effect goes on and on through generations. And so what a gift Kennedy Hill is. You know, as I was looking back and looking at photos of the 1930s, you know, my adoptive family was, you know, full of photos back then. I have several of my grandmother, my aunts, my uncles, my mom, and looking back at that, and the era was so proper, so formal, so put together. I remember thinking those words as I would look back on photos, and how much of that, you used a word a little while ago, taking off the masks, right? When you were talking about this film project, the masks that we can wear, and how you were able to remove those in this film and really allow your actors and actresses to be fully in the moment while they were making it. And so I'm excited to see those happy little accidents and mistakes as we view your film and just journey this through you. I just can't imagine how proud right, your parents and your Nana are, and the experience that you're going to have when you're able to sit down with them and watch it together and see it unfold. How beautiful. What a great way to share legacy and heritage with your family.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to do that as well, and I can't wait for the world to see this film and to hopefully share it with their friends and family to provoke more conversation and emotional change in their own heart.
You know, isn't that so true? That's so much of why we love to do projects like this. It's to start conversation, because it helps to raise awareness, because so often we are afraid to talk about these hard subjects. And, you know, as I am traveling all over, I'm speaking and I'm sharing with people about adoption, Jennifer, it's amazing the misconceptions, the myths, and the mysteries that surround adoption and the individual stories. And films like yours and some of the others that I have really come to appreciate really help start conversation. And I think that that is, it's key. Because if the more curious we are about each other and each other's stories and lives, the more we can seek to understand, love, and support each other at a whole new level. You used some of the words that I totally love, Jennifer, and that was epic, authentic, creative, pulling together, feeling supportive, and feeling supported in our journey and our life passion. And so I just want to stand and hold space for you and just really thank you for the work that you're doing. You know, not everybody is going to agree with every adoptive film out there. There's a lot of, you know, films that don't portray adoption accurately in some people's eyes and some that nail it in others' eyes and in others' hearts. But one of the beautiful things that we can do as professionals, whether we be filmmakers, coaches, therapists, adoption workers, wherever we are in the tapestry, is to just keep that curiosity piece and that lifelong learner and realize that everybody is our student and everybody's our teacher. And you've granted us that today here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for that.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure speaking with you, and so wonderful to really express everything that I have with you about my film and about myself, and to have your support and to know that I have a community of people like you that are going to stand beside me and make this difference that we want in this world.
Yeah, it's super important. You know, I don't know if you know a gentleman that I had the privilege of meeting in Boston by the name of Chris Wilson. He is also a young filmmaker like you. He did a beautiful film on adoption with his story, with his birth father, and it's titled You Have His Eyes. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, because that was an opportunity that the adoption community had to learn more about you young filmmakers who have such an incredible passion and drive to raise awareness. So thought I would introduce you guys over the air today, and hopefully I can connect you. Connect over Facebook, because we're both Facebook friends. And I encourage you to, yeah, you guys have the same passion. So I love that. So in closing thoughts, here we are. Do you believe it, Jennifer? We are at the top of the hour. Oh, my word. Unbelievable. Please share with our listeners a closing thought and how folks can get a hold of you and keep following your film project. Please share.
Kennedy Hill is going to be, well, it is, it's on Facebook and Instagram. If you go to Facebook and Instagram and type in Kennedy Hill Film, you can like and follow us there. There's also my website, which is jenniferkatchler.com. Katchler is spelled K-A-C-H-L-E-R. And the front page of my website is information about the film, and I'm going to be consistently updating the Facebook, Instagram, and website with behind-the-scenes photos, the trailer, any information, anything that is in regards to the film. So I would love if everybody just can connect and follow and reach out to me. I would love to hear your thoughts. And if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to talk to everybody about this project. And I hope you just support it and follow it and eventually see the full film.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And I just want to encourage our listeners to do that very thing. I have enjoyed so much following you and seeing you in the Kelowna News and the different interviews you've been able to do and the behind the scenes photos. Just absolutely fabulous. So thank you for that. And I am Leanne Parsons. We are at the close of another show. And I'm so incredibly privileged that you have chosen to spend this hour with us to learn more about filmmaking, to learn more about Jennifer, her passion and heart, to learn more about her Nana, and maybe a little bit about what adoption looked like in the 1930s. Because for so many of us, we can read about it, we can think about it, we can imagine in our minds what that might have been like. But Jennifer, through her film, Kennedy Hill, is going to give us an opportunity to step into that world at a real intimate way through this film. So we will be closely watching that. You can reach out to me on my website at thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Pinterest and LinkedIn and Twitter, all those great places. I also want to just take a moment and say thank you to the Lost Daughters and the Flip the Script campaign. Today is the day where we are drawing attention to adoptee rights in New York City as well as all around the globe about getting original birth certificates for those whose lives have been touched by adoption. And so thank you to my community in that arena as well. Today's a special day for us as adopted children. And so, oh my goodness, Jennifer, again, thank you very much. What closing thoughts do you have for our listeners today on this lovely Thursday?
That I am just so blessed and honored to be here to make these films, to create films that are positive and empowering and will help change the world. And I want to share that with each and every one of you, that you can do what your heart desires. You can make your dreams come true, and you can make a difference while doing that.
I love that. Boy, I don't have much to add to that, except I am a team builder within the Tapestry of Adoption. If you want to join with me in my quest to help bring dignity, conscious choice, and connection back into the adoption world, please, please reach out to me. If you know somebody, you see somebody in your world around you that's walking their talk, and you think that they would love to be on radio with me, please encourage them to reach out as well. I would very much honor and respect the time that we could spend chatting more about that. And so until next time, God bless, be well, live your legacy, and live it out loud.